and we're back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Thanks again to Eric Reed and Jardine Coleman, Manhattan Ogden USD 383, for coming in, talking to us, giving us some updates, and previewing their Board of Education meeting tonight. But now we're changing gears. In studio with me currently, Manhattan Area Technical College President Jim Jeanette. And I believe this is our first time meeting, Jim.
It is. So yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Let me see. Give me one more talk there. Just make sure. Okay. We've been having some mic issues.
We doing all right?
I think we're doing all right.
Okay.
We're good. All right. Fantastic. I just wanted to be sure.
Yeah.
We did a little bit of a in-focus microphone shuffle last segment.
So with Brady, we always talked about the Cubs because I'm a Cubs fan. But okay. With you, I think we should talk rock music.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I'm a 70s rocker.
I like 70s.
Yeah. Guitar rock?
Guitar rock. I was I'm a Jimi Hendrix fan. He was my first, when I first started getting into music outside of what my parents just listened to,
yeah.
But they listened to Jimi Hendrix. So, I mean, cool. They kind of influenced me a lot. Jimi Hendrix was my first real delve into rock music, I would say.
Very good.
Yeah. Who was your favorite?
Oh, you know, the more I look at stuff over time, of course, the Eagles as a group. And then the individual talent within there. I mean, Joe Walsh with a guitar, there's nothing he can't do.
I'm in on this conversation.
That's
too.
Good.
I'm
That's
a big
good.
Joe Walsh fan.
The guy's unreal. And like you said, he was, you know, he wasn't conscious for 20 years. He was drunk.
Yeah.
And he's come away from that. He plays better than ever.
Yeah. James Gang stuff is still more my favorite than. And my favorite Eagles stuff has almost always got Joe Walsh.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, you've got to listen to that talent they had throughout all those members musically, the singing, the music part, just the guitars, the rhythm, incredible stuff. So,
and I also was speaking of rock music, I guess, another group I'm a big fan of, AC/DC. I mean, it's hard not to be. And I actually saw them live back in, it's 10 years ago now. It's kind of hard for...
If I say Traveling Wilburys, do you know who that is?
It sounds familiar.
I do. Yeah.
It rings a bell.
Yeah.
If I heard a song, I might know better, but...
Let's see.
Traveling Wilburys was a group of Jeff Lynne.
Yes.
Bob Dylan was in there. Tom Petty was in it.
Oh.
George Harrison. And Roy Orbison.
Yeah. And they just had some stuff, late 80s?
Yeah. They did 88. Two or three albums. Roy Orbison died after the first one, but they kept going. I have a daughter, Kimberly. She's a special needs daughter. And her favorite song in the whole wide world is ELO's Don't Bring Me Down.
Ah.
And she uses an iGaze computer, and she can pick out that video and that song. And she will literally play it a dozen times in the evening when we're at home together.
Now, one of my all-time favorite songs is ELO's version of Roll Over Beethoven.
Yes.
Complete from the very beginning with the orchestra aspect to
it. Yeah. And that's what they played at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a couple years ago when they were inducted. And it was when Chuck Berry had died, and they played it at the start of the show to salute Chuck Berry.
Oh, nice.
So YouTube that because the sound is unreal.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I've got it on CD. So.
Okay.
Yeah, my dad was a big ELO fan.
I may still have it on vinyl.
You know, when you mentioned Bob Dylan for the Traveling Wilburys, that was where it now rung the bell because I'm also a huge Bob Dylan fan. I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand being a Jimi Hendrix fan. You kind of have to since he covered two of his biggest songs, I'd say. So I mean, it's hard not to be a Bob Dylan fan just in general. That's my opinion. If you disagree, you know, fine.
And Jim, Kansas belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes they do.
Thank you.
You've been campaigning on this for a while, Dave.
I have, and I'm not going to give up. They didn't make the nomination list this time, but
they should.
Aren't there some non-rock musicians on the nomination list this year?
Oh, there always are. There's always some rap artists, and you know, there's all kinds of things, you know, and it really should be a music hall of fame or a pop music hall of fame, because it's not a rock and roll hall of fame.
Not anymore, for sure.
Not necessarily. So, a lot of influences, obviously, it's just so widespread.
And it's hard to believe Kansas isn't already in there.
Isn't it, though?
I mean, I understand they're a bigger deal here in Kansas than in California.
Two of the iconic classic rock songs of all time from them.
And, I mean, who else? Considering they have rap artists in there in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Kansas isn't, that kind of leaves me a little raw, leaves me a little sore.
You also had a cast member from the first season of MASH who had one top 40 hit in the 70s. A guy named Luden Wainwright III. He played Captain Spaulding in the first season of MASH.
No.
And his biggest hit song was dead skunk in the middle of the road.
How about that?
So there's your worthless trivia for the day.
And his son has become a rather prolific singer-songwriter, too.
And his dad was a writer for The New Yorker.
Really?
So how about that? Interesting.
I think we're going to have to get together and talk about these things some other, you know, in some other capacity, probably, just for fun.
We could have Dave and Jim's trivia night.
Ooh. Dude, we should hit the bars. We could win big, but it's all gauged toward the millennials. So, you know, I'm just not that big on Cardi B.
Right. So what was Harry S. Truman's middle name?
It was not a name. It was the initial S.
Very good. He knows his stuff. Yes.
How about that? Was that his parents' decision or his decision?
Well, evidently his parents. He was a little young at the time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can always pick up a middle initial later.
He had S names on both sides of his family, Solomon and Ship, and so the compromise was just S to stand for either.
Okay. Well, that's unique.
Yeah.
That's definitely something.
And again, it wins you nothing except a trivia night.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm looking forward to your trivia night. I'll see you at, I don't know, Finn's.
Dude, I've done trivia questions and contests for decades. So.
It seems to be a big crossover between radio and trivia.
It's natural.
I have a friend who works down in San Diego, California. He works at a country station. He also program directed my college station with me. He does trivia nights quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's...
Yeah. I've hosted, I don't know how many hundreds of trivia nights, you know, on the game show stuff that I do. So, And I do a lot of Kansas trivia as well.
So there I guess before we get into some...
Do we have is there a real purpose for you to be here? Do you want to talk about music all day? I know it's been a while since you've been in, Jim, but, I don't know. We can hog all the airtime that we've allotted to you talking about things that really don't matter to anybody, like...
Sometimes if you ever have a cancellation of a guest and you need to kill some time, just get me on the phone or have me run out and we'll take care of it.
We should do a podcast.
Okay. There you go.
No, that would be a good one. I'd listen to the Dave and Jim podcast.
Uh-huh. All right.
All right, let's make it happen. Right. Okay, if you're just tuning in studio with me, Manhattan Area Technical College President Jim Jeanette, we're not actually talking to any rock musicians in here. We're just having fun and getting to know each other. But anyhow... we'll talk to you a little bit about some of the things going on around the college, actually. We'll move on to move on to business. Fun time's over. Let's talk a little bit about your enrollment numbers. I saw a report that I think they were a little bit down, weren't they?
They are a little bit. One, the strong economy in the region. You know, everybody's looking for workers, which is a good thing. We're kind of an anomaly this year. And one thing I tell my dean of students, because he frets to death about enrollment, is... You know, I could give him $1 million for PR and enrollment and marketing. It wouldn't guarantee anything. Enrollment is what it is, what it is. We have actually more full-time students this year, kind of a reverse trend from the past. So our enrollment's down a little bit, and it's not bad. We have 14 technical education programs. 10 of those are what I would call at capacity. They're either at 85% or higher of enrollment max. And so, again, from a program level, which is our real mission, we're in very good shape. The four programs not at capacity, two are due to area job labor demands, basically. One is we're in the process of probably phasing in the current program out and reshaping into a new version with some other options. And then another one that's down that we're going to revamp is in building trades. We just hired a new faculty member a couple weeks ago. And so he's got to have a chance to work with the area contractors and reshape the program. We're excited to have him because he's got some very strong qualifications and credentials related to OSHA, he can even do Spanish OSHA training. And then related to what the contractors are looking for, it's what's called NCCER credentials that he can give with the students as they learn their skills. Our other programs, the other 10, again, I said they're at capacity with 85% of enrollment or higher as far as an enrollment max. And we probably turned away, I'd say, between 70 to 90 students who could have gone into those programs if I'd had the capacity to take them. That's sad because much workforces were needed in the area, but either I didn't have the space or I have an accreditation issue, which I have a max, like in nursing, I can only take so many students. Welding, I turned away close to probably 12 to 15 students that were over my max. And so, again, that's a good problem to have, but it's sad when the area economy needs the workers. you're new to the area, so a little background. We're very good at what we do. A couple of years ago, we were ranked 19th in the nation on graduation rate out of over 800 community and tech colleges. And the average first-year salary for one of our graduates with a degree is $45,000 a year, which most people go, whoa.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, nursing. We're the game in town for nursing. And a lot of people think, well, our nurses come from K-State. K-State's a great university. They don't have nursing. We do. We teach people how to be electric linemen. It's a one-year program. They start in January. They graduate in December. Their starting job offers are usually between $65,000 and $80,000 a year.
Nothing to scoff at
all. No. But again, these are the guys who keep our power on when the ice storm rolls through. They're playing with danger. But it's an incredible opportunity for those young guys.
Definitely. So,
again, it's a good thing overall. We've got good programs. I call them, you know, we keep the world working programs. And then we're working into some new areas related to NBAF and related to the Animal Health Corridor. We call it critical environments. And that's some new things that we'll have emerging over the next several months.
And, you know, you touched on the nursing aspect there, and I feel like that's very critical. I went to a community college for 4 years, maybe a little longer than I should have. I spent some time.
Most people go more than two.
Yeah, I spent some time messing around in media, and once you get into those publications there, you know, you get into those extracurriculars, you get a little sidetracked with things. But we had a huge nursing program at our community college, too. Yeah. So it seems to be there's a trend that nursing and community colleges or trade schools to be able to have a good capacity for
right.
that.
Well, and the push in the metro areas, the push is for a nurse to have at least a bachelor's degree. Okay, so there's changes coming. We offer the LPN and RN levels. But those are critical before you go for the BSN because it's at the LPN and RN levels you get the clinical training. You don't get that at the BSN level. We turned away 24 students who were fully eligible to go into nursing with us. They had all the scores. But again, I have a max in terms of what I can take in due to the resources I have available. And yet you look in the region, 24 more nurses are needed, I think just at Via Christi alone. So most of our students, the vast majority, don't go underemployed. They get employed quickly. They're making more money than it ever cost them to go to school. Our cost of attendance is about $13,000 a year.
Oh, yeah, not bad.
Yeah, so most of our students come out with little or no student debt. We're working on some new initiatives with Flint Hills Job Corps. We're doing more with Fort Riley. We have meetings today. We had some meetings last week with Cloud County Community College on things we can do together in Gary County and Junction City. We work to collaborate, partner, share resources to extend our resources and get the programs out. And it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of fun.
And as you look at those numbers, the numbers of students you turned away, those 30 or so students that you're down really doesn't look so bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's time for our final break of the morning. Coming back, when we come back, we'll have more with Manhattan Area Technical College President Jim Jeanette. So stay tuned for more in focus here on News Radio KMAN.